Hello, and welcome to a fresh episode of Not Crazy, But Far From Sane. I'm your host, Megan Bell. Honestly, the name could not be more fitting for me because the name of the podcast, because I just recorded 13 minutes of this episode that I'm now re-recording, and it didn't play back for me at all. It was just dead-ass silence. There was nothing. So if I sound a little bit more quick and short, that's because I've already talked about this, and now I have to re-talk about it, and what I was talking about and will continue to talk about is my ex-husband, which makes me hot and sweaty and clammy and feel icky. So fucking hell. But apparently, that one wasn't supposed to make the air, so redo, woohoo! I'm turning that negative shit into something positive. So honestly, we're just going to make this a lot quicker than I was making it before. I'm going to give you a timeline version of how I ended up in Arizona, why all of that came about, I guess, because I met somebody and they were moving and they asked me to move with them. I'm being a little bit more cheeky right now because I already recorded this shit this morning and I'm going to have to do it again. And this is about something that was so, it gives me the willies thinking about it. Anyway, hi. Okay. Let's take a breath. So we were discussing in my other episodes the start of my anxiety and all of that. But really, that's not even a fair statement to say because my anxiety started when I was a really young kid. I always had it. I just didn't know what it was called or what the hell was wrong with me until I was after high school. So yeah, I that's when it was presented. You have anxiety. This is what you should do. Blah, blah, blah. But I didn't really coping strategies, different sort of thing like that. I really wanted to find. I did not want to just take medication at 18 years old to deal with something that I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life. Fast forward, though, I am on medication now. No shame. I'm on Wellbutrin and Lexapro. For different reasons that we'll get into other episodes. That'll just keep you listening, won't it? So I'm going to highlight my relationship with my ex-husband, David, the timeline of it. And I guess I'll probably speak, you know, within the timeline dates about what all went on within there. And I'll try to keep it as clear and organized and precise as possible. From my standpoint, if anybody's listening who was around during that time, good. Thank you. You know, thank you for your support during that time as well. It was a very tough time in my life. I changed completely. I would not be the same person if I had not gone through what I went through at 22, 23, 24. So, yeah. All right, let's dive right in. So I met David, my ex-husband, when I worked at J. Alexander's. I worked there that was April 2014. I started working there. He actually is the person who interviewed me, and from our interview, I could tell that he was not from where we currently reside, or where I currently reside, because he was not familiar with some of the restaurants I had on my application from my previous experience. So I knew he wasn't from around here. I learned later that he had transferred from the J. Alexander's in Nashville, Tennessee. He wasn't in the city very long. I mean, he literally was a manager at J's at this location for like not even barely a year. And then he got offered to transfer to Arizona to work for a different restaurant called Grassroots. And how he had that connection was he knew this couple from working in Nashville at J. Alexander's, who then moved to Arizona and worked for this other company called Grassroots. They recruited David and asked David if he would want to be a general manager, or not even a general manager at that time, just be a manager at one of the Grassroots restaurants. Fuck it. Who cares? Who cares about that information? But I guess it is kind of relevant because dang it. You're skipping forward, Megan. All right. So David and I started dating December of 2014. How that happened was he was very like kind of pushy, touchy with like the coworkers there and like flirty in a way, and everybody wanted his attention. Not everybody, but if you were young and dumb and you didn't know better, you wanted his attention. And here I am raising my hand for you if you can't see. I was one of those people, young and dumb and wanted attention. So he and I both watched this show, Sons of Anarchy. If you haven't seen it, I mean, I don't really recommend watching it now. I mean, it ended in 2014, but if you want to, it's good. It's gruesome, brutal, about biker gang, but it's pretty cool. Anyhow, so I go to his apartment to watch the Sons of Anarchy finale, December 2014. We start casually dating. I'm sure he was sleeping with other people during this time, so I found out later. So whatever you want to call it. He found out that he got this job offer in March of 2015. Well, since he and I were kind of dating, he asked me if I'd want to go with him. Mind you, this is before any of us said I love you or anything. So literally, as he's telling me this, I literally say, well, I guess if I'm willing to go, I guess I love you. Don't know really why I wanted to go other than I was enjoying, I guess, spending time with this. He was 9 years older than me. So I don't know. It just seemed like fun and different. And no one had ever asked me to move before. I was kind of enjoying his like aura. And I'm not really too sure why, but I now know why. It's because it was different than other people's. And it was just something that it was a little bit mysterious. But mystery came unraveling a year and a half later. So yeah, that was really weird, Megan. You're good. Okay, we're good. Anyhow, so I'm being so goofy about this because it was a very weird time in my life. So, and I did take a hit before this because this is, well, like I said, my second time doing this morning, and I'd really like to get on with my day. So I am being a little goofy right now. Anyhow, we moved to Arizona March 2015. Then we had discussed having kids because, you know, that's what everybody does after 3 months of being together. No, totally not normal. Totally not normal. So keep these things in mind. This man was isolating me away from, like, my family. I was younger. I was 22 at the time. So, yeah, this man wanted to kind of control things if you're not really following what's going on. So then he proposes to me July of 2015 because my parents said, well, if you guys are talking about having kids, you should get married first. So literally the next month he proposes, because this was a conversation going on in like May or June of 2015. We get engaged July 2015. We literally knew the day after we got engaged what day we were getting married, which was fast forward 9 months to April 23rd, 2016 was when we got married. We had a destination wedding. We got married on my family's ranch. So it was a lot of different planning. A lot of people pulled so much of their own weight to make this thing happen and be a part of it. And I felt so, so fucking loved. It was incredible. It was truly, yeah, That was the most emotional part for me, was having so many people, all of the people that mean like the most to me, aside from a few who weren't there. It was just so emotional for me. And then to have this person there who I genuinely believed in at this time. But so that was April 2016. We got married. We had our honeymoon right after that. And then we got back into, you know, Phoenix. We had to move within 2 weeks. So we moved to Tempe, Arizona, which is only like 20 minutes away from where we were. But they count them as like different little cities, like Scottsdale, Tempe, Gilbert, Mesa, Chandler. I don't even know what else there is. Phoenix. All these little things, like they're like little tiny cities within one big city. So if you say, oh, I'm from Phoenix, people are gonna be like, oh, well, where? Then you'd be like, oh, well, Scottsdale, and then they get it. Or, oh, Tempe, then they get it. Or you could just say Central Phoenix. Or I don't even know if that's a thing. So if someone's listening and I'm wrong, oops. Or whatever. Like, there's so many different things. I actually lived in 3 different little cities in the 2.5 years I was there total. So, all right. Oh, let me tell you. During this time, I was working for the same restaurant David was working for, but at different locations. He was working at Grassroots in Phoenix. I was working at Grassroots in Scottsdale. All right, cool. Feel like I had to get that out there. That's kind of a big deal. During this, I was a server and then I was a bartender, and I bartended there more than I served. And that's funny because I remember my husband telling me at that time, oh, I don't think you would like bartending. No, I don't think you would. And I ended up enjoying it way more than I like serving. And so that should have just been like, there's a red flag right there. Like, you don't know me. And then there was just so many other things where God, if I just paid attention when we were engaged, we wouldn't have got married. But then again, I wouldn't be telling the story. So what do you know? So keep in mind that we worked for the same restaurant, just different locations. Then he was promoted to general manager right when we got back and moved to Tempe. Then that summer was just so long and horrible for me. Best way I can sum it up is just a few examples of just how controlling he was. When we moved to Tempe, that apartment complex gave us a pool key. David took the pool key with him. I don't know why a man who works 12 to 14 hour shifts, you know, 5 days out of the week would need the only pool key. But, oh, it's because he was just trying to be controlling and he didn't want his wife to lay out at the pool without him. Whether it's because he's like racist or just ageist of people or just different things. Like, I don't know. Like, and I guess I say ageist in the sense of like different people hitting on me, or I'm not sure. Because it was a college town. Like, Tempe is where Arizona State University is. So there's a ton of college kids. There was different people of different races. And I'll leave it at that. So then it was just controlling, very controlling. Like, if I wanted to do something or if I wanted to go out that night, he'd be like, not tonight. Let's go out another night. And it's like, I couldn't do it without him. And like, if he was going to bed, he wanted me to go to bed around the same time as him. It was just, but you know, I fell in line until I didn't, you know, until I realized I want to do my own thing. Like, I'm still my own woman. He didn't want that. He didn't really want this, like, he would always tell me that summer that you just don't respect me. You don't respect me. To where I'm like this 23-year-old woman Googling what does respect mean? Like, how am I not respecting him? Oh, what he meant was I don't do exactly what he says. And he takes that as me just disrespecting him rather than me being my own fucking person. So yeah, that's just kind of, anyway. And he wants to talk about respect. He's the one who would have women messaging him late at night after he had worked a 12 to 14 hour shift. I mean, it made no sense. And the more I argued him on it, oh, he then just turned off his notifications on his phone. Yeah, he was bringing in the groceries one night. And after we had already had multiple rounds of fights about this for weeks and weeks of why do you need, like, because there was this time where we were about to go to bed and I was brushing my teeth. He was brushing his or whatever. He was sitting on the bed. I don't really know how it unfolded. I try to block stuff. And I remember looking at his phone and being like, why is there a text from, ironically, it said this girl's name was Megan. And I know he worked with a girl named Megan, whatever. It was a popular name in the 90s. So he had a text from Megan. And I shit you not, it was this really long HTML web link on Facebook. And my psycho ass typed it into my phone to see, like, what the hell is this shit? Like, what is this bitch sending my husband at like 10, 11 at night? And it was some dumb meme. Like, I could not even tell you years later what the meme was. It was stupid. So stupid that she didn't need to send it. She sent it because somewhere along the way, he gave her an invitation to say, hey, hit me up whenever. I don't respect my wife. Who gives a fuck? Come on, hit me up. That's exactly. So I remember, brushing my teeth and he was sitting on the bed and he was looking at his phone and I go, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I'm just clearing my calls from you earlier. And I said, well, I know I have the same name as that girl, but I didn't text you or call you some shit. Or I don't know what it was, but I was kind of being sly. It sounded more sly, obviously, in the moment. And he just had this dumb ass look on his face. Like, I just remember he just looked very like he was caught. He had nothing to say. He just sat there like a little kid and then went to bed, didn't say anything, stonewalled the conversation. Oy, oy, oy. So after that, what did David do? David went to his settings notification and turned off his notifications. Like, as if I don't know that people can do that. And this dumbass wasn't even smart about it. When I went to unlock his phone, it was the last thing up on his page. He couldn't even exit out the app. It's like, he was messy. Too messy for a fucking quick 23-year-old. It's like, you want to try and play some shit on me? So, yeah. Things weren't very good that summer. And I remember telling people at work about it as well because I didn't have any other friends. That was my outside source of friends because I worked or I went home and I hung out with my husband if he was there and we did hang out or whatever. I didn't have much of a social life. And I think David wanted it to be that way for obvious reasons. But not me. I'm not somebody who can be controlled, silenced, or, you know. Yeah. So that was that summer. It was horrible. I could continue going into different stories, but for the sake of like the timeline and my sanity, I'm not going to delve into that. If you have more questions, I'd love to answer them for you, but for the sake of just going forward, let's So then August 2016, not good still, obviously. He left. This was at the end. I want to say like August 29th or 30th or some shit like that. I don't know. He left and he then, I didn't know where he went. I just remember he was packing a bag. His schedule used to start, like he would go into work at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. 2 or 3 or 4, something like that. And I remember he was packing a bag and it looked like, you know, he was taking more clothes than obviously what he was wearing on his back for the workday. And I remember saying like, where are you going? Or like, what are you doing? And he was like, I think I'm going to stay somewhere else tonight. And my response was, well, if you know 12 hours in advance that you don't want to stay here tonight, then by all means. And he packed up. He was gone for 6 days. Then I couldn't wait any longer. He and I had briefly texted, and I remember telling him that I was traveling down to Texas to kind of get my head together and figure shit out, but that I would really like to obviously talk before then. And I remember he made plans for us to speak on Thursday, whatever day the fuck we were on before, I don't know, whatever day we were at, but I knew it was going to be multiple days in advance that we were, this was multiple days in advance that we were speaking before he and I were going to get together. And I just remember it driving me nuts and nuts. And I spoke to our mutual friend. She had told me, and I'm talking about the mutual friend, this woman was she was the wife of the couple that he knew when we were moving down there. So, you know, he was friends with them and I obviously became friends with them along the way. But I remember talking to her and she told me that David was going to be at their house on one specific evening talking to the husband about things, yada, yada. So my ass parked outside their house a little bit. I didn't totally park like right outside to be a creep. I wanted to be able to follow him, which is what I did. I waited and waited and waited for him to leave. He finally left. I followed him. He pulled into a gas station. I pulled up right next to him. It took him a minute to roll down his window. And then when he did, he looked like he saw a deer in headlights look on his face, you know? And he was like, "How'd you find me?" I said, "That's the least of your worries." And he repeated it, "How'd you find me?" I was like, "David, that's the least of your concern right now." And he was like, "I told you I would speak to you on Thursday." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm not waiting until Thursday." And I think this was like Sunday or something like that. I'm not sure. We could go find out, actually. September 5th, 2016 was a Monday. Yeah, it was like in the middle of the night. That's when he asked for a divorce. Sorry, I got really fixated on knowing exactly what time of the day because I'm a date type of person. But basically, I followed him. He then drove off. So I followed him again. He left the gas station. I followed him, followed him, followed him. We're on the highway now going like, I don't know, 90 miles an hour, but I was following his ass. Not the smartest move. I had a lot of adrenaline, wasn't thinking clearly at all. Driving, driving, driving. I don't even know where the fuck I am in Phoenix, wherever the hell I am. I just have my sights on his car and I'm not letting up. So it's like, he's been gone for 6 days. I married this motherfucker and now you're gone. You're just gone. You're just gonna leave. And oh, mind you, I already have abandonment issues to whoever's listening. So leaving and not saying anything is the absolute worst thing you could possibly do to me. Like the absolute worst thing. So he finally pulls over and he's like in between a Waffle House parking lot and like a, I don't know, like a hotel or something, right? So every time I see a Waffle House now, I think of him in that moment. And it was just... Yeah, I pulled up next to him and he was like, I don't know what he said when he was like, "Stop following me," or "Why are you following me?" or "Quit," like, I don't know what he said. And I was like, I'm your wife, David. I need to talk to you. Like, I was like, this is not okay. Like, I don't even remember, like, you can imagine, I'm sure, all the shit I was saying, right? And then the next thing out of his mouth is, "I want a divorce." And mind you, we're talking like car to car, like, where like we're pulled up in car spaces, but like there's a space apart from us and both of us have our passenger window down. No, I have my passenger window down and he's speaking out of his driver window. So just to give you a little imagery of how this looks, All right. And he's telling me, looking at me, he's got his head turned, you know, to the over his left shoulder. And I've got mine turned over my right shoulder looking at him. And he's like, I want a divorce. And I literally was like, yeah, no fucking shit, David. And I'm gonna have to like back away from the microphone so I don't yell, because I really only know how to reenact this with yelling, because I was yelling. I was like, so this guy has a master's in theology, and I just started screaming out obscenities like, you're no man of God. The tattoos on your arm don't mean shit. I was like, you're so weak. You're not a man. Oh my gosh. I was like, you stood up in front of all my family 4 months ago and promised all this, and you're a piece of shit. Oh, I just went off and off and off and off and off. I was so physically sick. I remember calling my best friend, like, who was there at that time, at that night, like Tatum. I called him and he came, and I remember I'd thrown up outside of my car door. I was just so sick. I remember he just drove off and left me there. I was like, he goes, I remember when he left, this was the last thing I said to David. He was like, well, if you're good, I'm going to leave. And I go, David, you already left. Like, get the fuck out of here. Anyhow, so that's the story of him asking for, or of him asking for a divorce. That's what it seemed like, right? Of our marriage. We got married April 23rd, 2016. And September 5th, he asked for a divorce, which, I mean, I don't even see how he would have come back from that when somebody leaves for 6 days and doesn't tell you where they're staying. Oh, by the way, I found out through, I think it was my mom, that he was staying at an Airbnb. Yeah. Fucking loser. So I moved out that week. That was on a Monday. That's right. Okay, so that was on a Monday. I had to find that out because I'm very obsessed with dates. Like, I know dates pretty well. And sometimes I forget the day of the week that it happened on, especially if it was like 6 years ago, but I really wanted to know. So that was a Monday. I had found an apartment that Thursday and was moved out by Friday, Saturday, like done completely, which I remember that completely shaking my world in the sense of, wow, so much can happen in 1 week. Like, look at what happened. Like, in 1 week, I was living in this city over here in this bed. And then now over here, I don't have a bed, and but I'm living on my own, so fuck it. I grew up really quick in that way, in the sense of, well, so let me tell you, I was on the phone with my mom and dad. I was on a 3-way call with my parents who were divorced. I think that's probably the only time I've done that to them, which, I mean, save those moments for absolute emergencies. And I think that called for an absolute emergency when their daughter is sitting on the side of a road in Arizona, don't know where the fuck I am, outside of a Waffle House parking lot, and my husband just tells me we're getting a divorce. And so, yeah, my dad flew out to Phoenix the next morning, like the rock star he is. My mom and I's relationship was a bit strained during that time. A bit strained is putting it lightly, but that's not what this is about. It's about my growth from all of this. And yeah, that was pretty wild. I think, yeah, it just was. He and I really didn't have much communication after that. We split what was in the bank account. We had a cat that we shared. Her name was Ona, like O-N-A, short for Arizona, or short for Sedona, which Sedona is beautiful. It's definitely my favorite place in Arizona. So we had got this cat, right? Ona. And he didn't want her. And I wanted to get a puppy. So I didn't want to have a dog, a cat, and a puppy in a 900 square foot apartment. Like, no thanks. Or that's a lot, but still, like, that's a lot of room, but for one person, but still, you know what I mean? So I asked around. I ended up giving her to this girl, Mia. All right. She was my friend. She actually worked at the location of Grassroots that David worked at. Although she first had worked at the location I worked at in Scottsdale. So I knew her. We were friends. This girl watched my plants and fed my fish for me when we were on our honeymoon. Like, we were friends. I don't know. It sucks to like think of what's the definition of friend. But like, yeah, we were friends. I say that because you'll find out in just a moment. So I gave Ona to Mia. Well, I found out. I started dating this guy, Seth. That's a whole other whatever. I mean, not even. That's nothing. That I don't even need to give that much attention right now, ever. But this, why did I mention that? Hold on. Why did I mention that? Oh, I started dating Seth because Seth was the one who told me, actually, that Mia and David were dating and that she was pregnant. And I found this out, like, this was... I think a month after our divorce was official. So I was one who filed for divorce. I did all that. He didn't. Lazy fuck. Fucking loser. Seriously. He just couldn't do anything. It's like you asked for it and you couldn't do it. Just such a wuss. Wussy pussy. So I think it was a month after it was final, our divorce. So it was like March 2017. I found out through Seth, my boyfriend at the time, that Mia and David were pregnant. Now they've got three kids and they live in Florida. So good for them. But it was disgusting. That was so gross to find out. But actually, months later, when there was still a bill or something in my name, even though David had said that he was going to take care of all that, don't know why I trusted that he would. But I was young and dumb, and I did, and he never took care of it. So I remember, oh, yeah, that's right. Like 2 weeks after David asked for a divorce, he was transferred to the sister restaurant of Grassroots, which to be, I think it was the GM or something. I don't really give a shit. But that was also like 50 feet away from the restaurant I was currently working in. So we were working across the street from each other, mind you, 2 weeks after he asked for a divorce. But you know what? I really never saw him. I think I saw him like twice or something. And it was really like, he should have been more afraid than me. Like seriously, I had nothing to be afraid of. I was like, I'm not going to be pushed out of this city because of you. Like you have to deal with it. You're the one who asked me to move out here. I'm not fucking moving back home right now. Deal with it. So I remember when this was after they, I'm like doodling because I'm like a little stressed. This was after they, I knew that they were pregnant or she was pregnant, whatever. And I went into the restaurant because there was still a bill left in my name and I needed it to be took care of. So I went in there. I asked to speak to David. He came out and I was like, and he, again, always looks shocked to see me, like shocked that I'm a fucking woman and can take care of my shit. It's like he just wanted somebody who could cower and do whatever he wanted. If he didn't have power and control over you, then, well, you were disrespecting him. So I just remember after him, we had our little exchange back and forth about the bill. And then I just looked him in the eyes and I said, oh, yeah, and congratulations to you and Mia. And I stuck my hand out to shake it because I'm a badass bitch. And I shook his hand. I walked away and he said, oh, well, so what are you off to do today? And I said, I'm going to go have a drink. And I like pointed at the restaurant that I worked at, but I was off that day. I was like, I'm going to go have a drink because I deserve it. And that was the last time I saw David face to face, like talking to him. Yep. I stayed in Arizona from then until, I just didn't want to move back right after the divorce. I didn't want to. That just felt like icky. I was scared to come home. I didn't really want to move back in with my dad at that time. I didn't want to, I just needed to figure shit out on my own, really, with everything that had happened and gone on, and especially just questioning so many things, like what's a friend, what's this, like what, you know, what is marriage, what's love, what's respect, what is all the, I was so fucking exhausted trying to figure it all out. But the good thing is during some of this, I did have a medical marijuana card that did ease some of the pain. So shout out to medical marijuana cards. Can't wait for them to become legal in Texas. Even if it's just medical marijuana, I'll be the first in line. We just need some progress here. But so yeah, that's my Waffle House divorce story. And I think I'm going to end that there because we're almost at 30 minutes. And I don't know what else I could say about that right now. I did meet some really great friends along the way, actually. Shout out to my best friends, Tatum and Chloe. They were really there for me during that time. I love you so much. Yeah, they saved me during that time. We had so many like all-nighters. Those were fun. And we would go to Talking Stick Resort and gamble and not gamble too much. We would just drink and party and it was so much fun. Those times. So let's end it on a positive, fun note because I really did walk away from that 2016-2017 era in my life with some of the bestest friends I have to this day, which I think in lieu of posting pictures of my wedding and all that shit, I'm going to post fun pics I had and times I had with them because, yeah, they were my rocks and I'm still best friends with them. Could not have gotten through that time without y'all. So yes, let's end it there. And thank you for listening. I'll see you guys, talk to you soon. I won't ever see you, but I guess I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Hi, it's me again. So just a quick edit after editing my podcast. I would like to make it clear that Seth did not tell me that Mia and David were dating. I actually found that out on my own from scrolling through my Instagram feed and being a follower of Mia's at the time. And I saw that she had posted a picture for David's birthday that year. So I knew that they had been hanging out. But I will say, fast forward to spring of 2017, Seth was the one who told me that Mia was pregnant with David's child. So I just wanted to clarify that, because that's actually the honest to God truth from my perspective of how it all went down. So thank you for listening. And yes, thank you. Have a great day and week and month, and have a happy life.